I'm Janet Roper, and you're listening to the Reawaken Right Relationship Podcast. Welcome to this place where we have conversations about creating, nurturing, and sustaining right relationship with all sentient beings. Thank you for listening to this podcast and a hearty dose of gratitude to those who have supported this podcast by making a financial contribution. I delight in providing this on-the-house offering to you, and it is made possible for me to continue to do so thanks to the voluntary support from listeners such as yourself. To become a sustaining member or to make a one-time contribution, you will find the link in the episode notes. Thank you so much for your support. Hello, everyone. I have missed you the past few weeks. The reason I haven't been podcasting, and I do believe I shared this last time on the last episode, but the reason I haven't been podcasting for the past 6 weeks or so is because I moved. Now, I just moved 3 miles away, less than 3 miles away from where I was formerly. But any of you who have moved before, you know what that entails. There's the planning, there's the strategy, there is the making sure all the ducks are in a row kind of thing. And if you're moving with animals, that adds an extra dimension. As a matter of fact, that's what we're going to be talking about on today's episode of the podcast. We're going to be talking about moving with all of your animals. We're going to be talking about how things are going with your animals before, after, and during the move. And then finally, we're going to be talking about how to meet your non-human neighbors in your new neighborhood. So sit back, grab a tea, your beverage, favorite beverage of choice, and let's just get started. So let's talk about moving with pets, shall we? Because as you know, if you have animals, if you live with animals, and if you are moving from one place to another, that just adds an extra dimension to it, doesn't it? Particularly if you've got cats, because if you're moving, you've got boxes, and we all know how cats love boxes. So, and I say this in jest, and I also say it seriously, is that when you are moving, make sure that you don't accidentally pack one of your cats in a box. And the reason I say that is not on this last move that I did, but on a previous move, I don't know, 3 or 4 moves ago, my cat Billy loved to be in a box. And I really had to make sure that he was not in the box before I would seal it up. It was just amazing how that cat would go into the box, and he would do it quietly, even though he was wearing a bell. And I wouldn't hear him get in the box, and I'm getting ready to put something in or to rearrange something in the box, and it's like, hello, there's Billy. So just make sure when you are moving that all tails are accounted for, and the boxes contain what they need to contain and don't have any extra cats in them. So this move that we made, and when I say we, I mean myself and my dog Max and my cat Raven, we only moved less than 3 miles away from our previous place. And the thing that's really different is we were in a single family dwelling and now we're in an apartment, and I haven't lived in an apartment for years. I'm liking it much more than what I thought I would. My main concern in the move and in downsizing like this and in going to apartment living was how my dog Max would do with this and everything. And I'll be talking more about that a little bit later. But when you are getting ready to move, make sure that you take that into consideration too, is how are the animals going to do in the move when you get there? Is the living space, how different it is it from the old place? Are there fences for the animals? Are there ways that they can get out of those fences? All those little things that you have to consider. So when we're moving, for us humans, what we need to consider, of course, is the logistics of the move itself, utility notifications, the post office. And I have a funny story to tell you about that. I sent in my notification to the post office online effective July 1st, which is approximately 5 weeks ago. I wasn't getting any mail on my new place. I mean, yeah, I was getting some mail, but I wasn't getting like some of my favorite catalogs and stuff. And where I had been getting my mail, is at the UPS store here in town. And I had rented a box that goes until, I think it's September, end of September. So I wasn't really too concerned about the mail because I figure it's going to go one place or another. But the other day, I just happened to stop by the UPS store and just to pick up. I didn't think there would be any mail. That's where my mail had been going. The change of address had not gone through. So I was like, okay, let's do this change of address again. So details like that, when you are moving, not only do you have to keep all those details in your nose above water on the details, but the follow-up afterwards. So anyway, I have sent in another change of address, and hopefully by the end of this week, I will be getting my mail at the new place. I think you have to think about updating professional places such as doctors, dentists, insurance, banks, Social Security, Medicare, taxes, that kind of stuff. And now let's get to the main course of this, and let's talk about moving with pets. So it's really interesting. Since I've done my move, I've had a number of clients who just called and, you know, set up an appointment and everything. And they just happen to be moving too. And it always strikes me as funny as how this comes in waves. You know, when something happens, then it's followed up by another wave of it's happening to this person, and this person. And so my clients have been asking me, well, what about my animals? How can I help them as I'm moving? So let's talk about that. Keep in mind that a smooth move for your animal pals lessens their stress. And we all want that, don't we? I mean, there's a lot of stress going on anyway whenever there's a move. But anything that we can do to lessen it helps them to adjust more quickly to their new home, help them take the actual move of the stride, or excuse me, the actual move helps them to take it in stride and to become more adjusted easily and quicker to their new home. So here's a checklist for your consideration. Okay, first of all, make sure that all of the animals are wearing updated and legible identification. If your animal is microchipped, make sure that you call the microchip company and give them all the information that they need so that in case your animal gets lost either during the move or anytime after if they wander off, everyone has the information they need to help you find your animal. During the move itself, keep your animals leashed and at your side or in a secure kennel at all times during the move. Now, I was talking with someone the other day, and her plan for her dog was to have the dog outside in a fence, okay? Very safe. It was in the yard that the dog was used to and, you know, fenced. It was a secure yard. And what I brought up with that is that you don't know if the movers are going to go back there and accidentally open the gate and the dog takes off running. So just when you are making your move, take all kinds of considerations about what could happen. I hate to sound like a pessimist, but sometimes it's best to think of worst case scenarios. If I put my dog in the side yard, what happens if I put my dog in the side yard and the gate gets opened accidentally? What happens if I put my dog in the side yard and he's not used to seeing movers going in and out of the house and he starts to dig underneath and gets out that way? So, yes, I might be, you know, Miss Pessimist here, but it's really about keeping the animals safe, isn't it? So I just find it that it's easier to have Max leashed by my side or in the car like I was talking about a little bit earlier and to have him there where I know he's at and have my cat Raven in his kennel. During the move, this is point number three, plan when and how the animals will be moved. Getting them out of the way of the movers is going to lower their stress and it's going to make it easier on everyone, including the movers. So sharing a true story here is that for this last move, this is the first time that I've moved with Max that he's had canine cognitive disorder. And I did not know how the move was going to affect him. Now, thankfully, knock on wood, it's been very good. Okay. He's come through it pretty well, actually, with all things considered, but I didn't know that beforehand, you know? So, the day of the move, the movers were supposed to be there at 10 o'clock. By 9:30, I had Max all leashed up. He was walking beside me when the movers actually pulled in the driveway. And they got there probably 10 or 15 minutes early. I was able to put Max in the car. Now, having said that, I put him in the car. I do want it to be clearly understood that this is Missoula. It was borderline downright cold that morning. Definitely cool. The car was parked in the shade, the windows were open, and that was a very safe place for Max. Do not, I repeat, do not keep your animal in the car if it's hot, if there's any consideration or any concerns that you have for the heat and your animal being in the car. Do not put them in the car. With Max and with Raven, once I finally got him in his kennel, they were both in the car. I was sitting there on the back end of the car with both of them, and it was a safe, it was a secure situation. Now, however, with Raven, because I was so concerned about Max, and I thought Raven would be a piece of cake because he always has been in the past, I didn't take into consideration the movers getting there early. And so they got there, we talked, and Raven just went ballistic. He went from the lower level of the loft to the upper level, and he went into a little hidey hole. I'm saying this after I found out where he was, and I couldn't find him. So I'm telling the movers, okay, you guys have to get out of the house. I have to find my cat. I can't find my cat. And so this was very nerve-wracking for me. And the movers, they were very good about it. As a matter of fact, the moving company that I use, Two Men in a Truck, if you ever need to move, I highly recommend them. Just highly. They've moved me the last four times. But, you know, the guys were getting kind of impatient. And who can blame them? They've got a job to do, and they've got another one to do in the afternoon. So the agreement that we came to was that I would stand there at the kitchen door, and that I would be the one to open and close the door, so that if Raven should go scooting out, I would be able to see him and catch him. So that's the way it worked. And it was, of course, a big hassle because I was definitely in their way. And then one of the guys came downstairs, and this is another reason why I will always use Two Men in a Truck for my future moves. One of the guys came downstairs, and guess who he had found in his little hidey hole? He was holding my cat, Raven. And it was just like, yay, you found Raven. Thank you very much. Got Raven in his cage, put him out there in the car with Max, and everybody was safe. And I breathed a big sigh of relief, let me tell you. So just a note to remind you that even though we have the, what do they call it? The best laid plans, that they can sometimes go awry. So when you are moving with animals, always keep abreast of what's going on and plan as best you can and be ready to deal with that one thing that, you know, you thought you'd plan for and it didn't quite happen like you thought you were going to do. So at some of my other moves, what I've done, and because this move was so close, I didn't need to do it this time. I planned for one of my friends to be at the old place to oversee the actual move. And that gave me the chance to go to the new place with the animals and keep an eye on them. So that is something to consider too. Have someone over at the old place overseeing the move and taking care of all the details that need to be taken care of while you're at the new place with the animals. The thing that I liked about that move at that point in time was because I was at the new place, the animals actually had a chance to explore the new place before the movers got there. So that was really cool. With this current move, what happened was that I had taken them to the new place beforehand because this turned out that for like a week or so, I had both the old place and the new place so I could take my time going back and forth in between the two places. So this move was a little bit different in that way. When you're moving, make sure that you have a safe place for your animals, a place that they can be while the move is going on, okay? Be sure that the door is securely shut with a big sign. I do mean honking big sign, folks, with a big sign saying, animals inside, do not open door, and then keep your eyes on that door. Make sure they have what they need, the water, the food, the litter box, the toys, whatever they're going to need while they are in there. And be sure that they have the proper ventilation and it's a comfortable temperature. I don't advise keeping the windows open as they might accidentally push out a screen and escape. And that goes for both cats and dogs. Now, when you're moving, make sure that you notify, not only do you have to notify, you know, the people in the human world, like we talked about a little bit earlier, but the people in your animal's world, such as the vet, the trainer, a pet sitter, as I mentioned earlier, the microchip company, and any other people that you need to contact to tell them about the move, to tell them about what's going on. With this move, because it was short distance, you know, I really did not need to have a bag packed with my animals' needs. But when I moved from Minneapolis to here in Missoula, I definitely had that because we were stopping at hotels overnight. So each animal had their own bag packed with what they needed, which was bedding, towels, food, water, bowls, treats, toys, leashes, harnesses, medical records, prescriptions, and medication. And that just gave me peace of mind because when we stopped at the hotels, I grabbed my bag, I grabbed their bags, I grabbed the animals, and we just went in and it made it really super duper easy. And if you've moved before, you know that you want to do everything that you can to make it super duper easy. The other thing that I had was that when I was doing the cross-country move was that like an old towel, my cat Billy was having a really difficult time with the move. And so I kept him in his kennel as much as possible with an old towel in there because he was so stressed out, poor boy. And that seemed to give him some comfort, but it was just a hard move on him. Sometimes the move will be hard on the animals. Talk to your vet beforehand to see what you will need just in case the move is more difficult than what you are planning on. And then finally, if you are moving long distance, check, double check, triple check the airline regulations for traveling with your pet. If you're traveling by car, find out where the pet-friendly hotels are and make your reservations ahead of time. Now, having said that, it is also important to keep in mind that just because one campus of a hotel, of a chain of hotels, is pet-friendly does not mean the next another campus is. And I learned this by hard experience. So make sure that you call that hotel in the city that you're going to be staying at, even if you've stayed at that hotel chain 1,007,000 times, and make sure that that particular campus allows you to have your pets. Check with your vet to see if they can recommend any vets along your travel route, just in case that should be needed. It's always good to get those little ducks in a row. And if you have any prescriptions, make sure, medications, make sure that you've got those, you've got plenty of those, and that check with your vet to make sure that there are places along the route that should you need to get those refilled, that you can get those refilled. So all in all, basically this last move for me went exceptionally well, minus the fact that, and I kid you not, it took me 5 weeks to find my boots and my shoes, the box that had those, because even though it was clearly marked boots and shoes, bedroom, they somehow got in the storage unit. So it took me some time to get out there to the storage unit, go through that and find them. But basically, except for that, I thought the move had gone exceptionally well. And I believed that both boys had adjusted well to our new place. And then I noticed that my dog Max was becoming more clingy than usual. He followed me around like he's always done. And he's always been a Velcro dog, but this was more than Velcro dog. He had to be right next to me. And when I say right next to me, I'm saying it with capital letters and neon signs around it, right next to me. Our bodies had to be touching, and oftentimes he would literally block me into a space where I couldn't move because he had to be right next to me. Then he started walking on my feet and standing on them. And it was as if he couldn't get close enough to me. And it was as if he had no concept of where his feet were. And that when he was standing on my feet, he wasn't standing on the floor. And so the situation escalated from bad to worse to dangerous because I was afraid that I might inadvertently fall over him or that I might unintentionally hurt him by stepping on him. Or dropping something on him if I didn't realize that he was there. So it was really both easy, and I think it was natural for me, too, to attribute these behaviors to his canine cognitive disorder. And I do think that they played a part in it. He had been moved from home of this past 4 years, and he was experiencing new sights, sounds, and living conditions. And not only that, but as far as I know, Max has never lived in an apartment before. but only in single-family dwellings. So now we're in an apartment, and that in itself presented a big change. He also sorely missed his Max Bark window, which is a window that we had at the old place, which basically, picture window that went across one wall, one side of the house. And he could see literally for miles. So anyway, there were all those things to be considered. So one night I was talking to his auntie and my friend and co-worker, Chris Scanlon, and I mentioned all of this to her just in passing, and she became silent. And Max had connected with Chris, unbeknownst to me, and this is not unusual. It's something that both Raven and Max will do with Chris. And they told, and Max told her why this was happening, which Chris told me that he felt safer by my side because he'd been through a lot of change and uncertainty with the move. And he had been able to cope with that years ago. But now that he's older, it's scarier. And doesn't that make sense? Doesn't that make sense that he was having a harder time coping with it because he's older? So why am I mentioning this to you? Because I want you to be aware that it can be possible to miss what's going on with our own animal family, even when we are in tune with them and have a long time established relationship. So sometimes, even with the best of intentions, we miss what is perfectly obvious to our animal pals because, as I was with the move, I was preoccupied, I was busy, I was tired, I was stressed, and I assumed that I knew what was going on. So as an animal communicator, I listen to what the animals tell me, and then I relay that information to the humans that are talking to me so that we can get a clear understanding of what is going on and what they are experiencing. And this, of course, helps you to help them in the way that they need and they are asking for. And as I said, my friend Chris, she is also an animal communicator, so I'm really grateful that Max tuned into her and then she relayed that information to me. So the takeaway that I would like for this is, what I want you to take away from this is we're not an island. We're not meant to do this business of life alone, of doing everything ourselves. We are meant to be in connection with each other and to support each other, just like Max's auntie Chris supported me and Max during this time. So if you're getting ready to move, if you're in the midst of a move, if you're planning to move, I do invite you to take your animals into consideration. And I know you do that because I figure I'm basically, you know, preaching to the choir here. But consider reaching out and having an animal communication session with them so that they know exactly what's going on. They know exactly what's going to be happening. And even though you've told them this, and I know you have, when we do that animal communication session, it comes over to the animals in a different way. And it's not just mom or dad just talking. It's somebody else. It's a professional who is saying, and this is what's going to happen. And the other thing that I can do is I can give you hints and tips on moving specifically with your animals. So if you're getting ready to move and you'd like to set up a one-to-one session, just give me a call. You can reach me here at anchor.fm. Leave a message here. You can give me an email at janet@janetroper.com. And you can also email me through my site, which is janetroper.com. So taking all of this into consideration is going to help you and your animal pals have a much easier move. I want to mention a quote here from a good friend, Tracy Nichols. And that quote is, "I'm still unindoctrinating myself from patriarchal power over habits of mind," end quote. And that is so much the way it was for me with this move. Put it another way is that this is the first time that I've moved since practicing animism. So it really made the move different. Not only the move was different, but leaving the old place, coming to the new place, and the way I connected with the mountains and the wildlife and the land spirits at both places, it was totally different. So let me share with you a little bit about what that was like. When it came to leaving the old place, this time I definitely made it a ceremonial close. Now, in the past, what I've done is I've said goodbye to the places I've left. I've thanked them for hosting me and my animal family for those years or months that we were together. But I was never ceremonial about it. I was never that deliberate about it. And this time I was. And this time in the ceremony, what I included was the land, the mountains, the animals, the house that I left, the land elements and spirits that were there. And I definitely had a ceremony with all of them, saying goodbye and to thank you and how much I appreciated them letting me be there for that time that we were together. I had it with a fire, with candles, had a ceremonial candle going on as I was telling them this. And then what I also did at the end was to give all of them a goodbye gift, which for me, because I'm a tea drinker, I love tea, and the land, the mountains, the animals, the house, the elements, they all knew that about me. They had all observed that about me in the 4 years that we had been together. So I gave them a goodbye gift of tea. I took some of my favorite tea, the tea leaves, new, and like I say, it was my favorite, and I sprinkled it about as I was thanking them and showing appreciation to them for the time that we had been together, with a definite closing out. When I got to the new place, or I should say concerning the new place, because there was that 1 week that I was going in between places, you know, that last week of the month, I was able to greet the new place and still be at the old place. So that might not have been the cleanest of leavings, but it was the way it happened this time. And so at the new place, I introduced myself to the apartment before I even went outside, literally standing outside of the door to the new apartment and saying, "Hello, my name is Janet, and I'm going to be here. I'm going to be bringing in my dog's Max, or my dog Max and my cat Raven. And I just really thank you for being open to me being here." And I spoke to the apartment that way. I also brought a welcoming gift to the apartment, and it was a plant. It was a bamboo plant, which is still here, which is growing well. And that plant was the first thing that came into the apartment as just a way of saying, "Thank you. I appreciate you. Here's a housewarming gift to you, the apartment, from me." So when I brought the plant in the first thing, I also had brought some of my stones with me. And again, I cleared the space here in the apartment and of anything that might have been left over, any energies that might have been left over from the former tenants or from the people who might have been cleaning or people coming in and out, that kind of thing. And so as much as possible, before I actually had the move, I made the apartment mine as much as I could. I left some of the stones here, and they were willing to balance it out and to, so to speak, introduce me and my energy to the new apartment when I wasn't here. I also had some bells here that I left, and like I say, the plant was here also. So those were grounding pieces that came over from the old place to the new place, which, first of all, it helped introduce me and mine to the apartment. And second of all, it also grounded the place in my energy, helped ground the place when I was over at the old place. So it seems to have worked out very well. Now, granted, I've only been here, I think it's 5 or 6 weeks thus far, but it seems to have worked out very well thus far. Now, my dearly beloved mountains, and I shouldn't call them mine, you know, from an animistic point of view, but I hate to say it, I do consider them mine. Because at the old place, I woke up to them every morning for 4 years, and I just loved those mountains. Well, I'm close enough that I can still see those mountains, but it's a different perspective. And so I have the opportunity now to meet the mountains, and it's the back side of the Blue Ridge, or excuse me, the Blue Mountains, I believe it's called. Yes. So it's the backside of those mountains here that I see just from a different perspective. And I get to meet them and see them and experience them from a new perspective. Even though I'm assuming that they knew all of me at the old place, now they're seeing me from a different perspective, that I've downsized and I'm in a different place. I'm in a different point in my life. And so they are experiencing me from a new perspective too. Now, with the wildlife here, even though I've only moved less than 3 miles, it's really totally fascinating because there were squirrels here. They weren't at the old place. I'm seeing mushrooms in the yard here that weren't at the old place. I miss the magpies that were over at the old place. So it's really quite different. And I'm getting to meet the wildlife here. And by wildlife, I mean not only the animals, but the plants and, as I said, the mushrooms and everything. And so because this new place has walking areas for me and Max, we're taking advantage of those walking areas. And I get to meet the new life as I'm out on the walk with Max. We get to frequent the same place over and over and over so that the wildlife can get to know me and who I am and what I bring to this place. And they get to meet Max and see who he is and what he is bringing to this place. So what I'm finding is that I'm available to build right relationship with the beyond human beings that are here, if that is something that they desire. Now, other than introducing myself, I just haven't really done too much. Because right relationship doesn't happen overnight or happen because it's my intent to build right relationship with the new sentient beings, my new sentient being neighbors here. There's a building and a long-term tending to that relationship that is involved. And it needs to be mutual and guidelines need to be established. And you know what, folks? That mutual cooperation and guidelines does not come from just me. Like I say, it's mutual. And it takes time and it takes perseverance and it takes respect and it takes patience. And that, again, I say that it takes patience to do this. Because with right relationship, it's not about me. And I know I just said that, but it really is not about me. It's, I'm here. I would like to meet you if that's okay with you. But the ball is no longer in my court. I've tossed it over to the beyond human sentient beings. And now I wait to see what they do with it. Now, the great thing for that is there's no stress for me. I've made it known that I'm here. I'm available. This holding pattern that I'm in, it's not exhausting to sustain. It's because it's a holding pattern. But I will admit it can be confusing and uncomfortable because as that good human being that I am, who's so used to coming in and going the patriarchal route of saying, I'm here, and we're going to do it this way, and this is how I'm going to introduce myself to you, and totally leaving the beyond human sentient beings out of consideration, I'm not doing it that way anymore. So that's why it's uncomfortable, is because I am learning new ways of being where I just wait and I see what happens. Wait and see. And it's a new pattern for me. And it's also, and I think this is true to say, that it is also creating new ways of thought in my brain. It's almost like I can feel these new habits that are, you know, just like leading new, whatever you want to call it, paths of thinking to my brain, and things that I've done for my entire life, I'm choosing to no longer do it that way. And I'm willing to sit with the uncomfortableness that sometimes brings along. But what I'm noticing, or what I've noticed thus far, is that the trees in particular have started to respond to me, a couple of the trees. And it's just like they're showing me who they are. And it's just kind of like, hey, how you doing? Tipping their hat, so to speak. Some of the birds have started doing that. And I'm intrigued. It's almost, I feel like I'm doing an experiment here because this is so new to me to be in this animistic place of letting who, and I shouldn't even say letting, but of being willing to welcome the beyond human sentient beings as they come to me, if they come to me. So it is an experiment that is an action. It is taking place day by day by day by day by day. And what I will do is I will keep you posted on this. The thing that I'm learning about this, and it's really interesting because I've said this before, that right relationship, it's about mutuality and it's about cooperation and it's about reciprocity and it's about exchange. But now instead of talking about it, I'm living it. And that is totally different. And so I will keep you posted on how that forms my life, how that molds my life and makes me into a new being of who I was before I moved here, and even who I was a couple of weeks ago or yesterday. It's really quite exciting. So thank you for listening to that. And if you have any questions, please submit them. Let's get a conversation going on about this, about what it means to have right relationship and to actually live it instead of talking about it. Do you love what you're hearing on this podcast? I sure hope so. And if you are loving it, I ask that you show support by liking it and leaving a comment or review on whatever platform you are listening to this on. You can also show your support by sharing it with your friends and family. And I so appreciate your help. Thank you. The 20 plus years that I have spent writing, speaking, podcasting, and sharing what I know with you have all been to support your life and relationship with the animals and the other nature beings you love so dearly. I share what I know and intuit freely, a gift from my heart and spirit to you and the sentient beings of the world. It's a body of work grounded in love and infinite respect for all life, because we all do better when all creatures do better. If you find my work helpful, if an article or a podcast has inspired or informed you or expanded possibilities in your world, a donation would be deeply appreciated as a way to show your support. You can make a payment of any amount at paypal.me/Janet Roper, or simply go to my website, www.janetroper.com, and at the top you will see a tab that says Make a Contribution, and you can make your contribution there. I thank you very much. Your contribution makes my work sustainable. Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you have enjoyed hearing this, remember to subscribe to the podcast on Anchor or iTunes. And if you would like to follow more of my work, please visit www.janetroper.com.